You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
Hello there. I'm here to show you a wonderful place. A veritable Camelot, the nuclear age. Not made by God Almighty, but the working man.
You can be a hero by purchasing a residence and a Vault-Tec vault today. Because if the worst should happen tomorrow, the world is going to need you to build a better day after.
The mission of the vaults should be important to everyone. To come up to the surface one day and restart civilization. Can you tell me what's happened in the last 200 years?
Holy shit. You're an actual vault dweller.
I am.
I thought all you dipshits were dead.
What you're doing is insane.
I don't accept the world.
It isn't like the vault out there. It's big.
I just want to start.
I've had a rough week. Practically every person I've met up here has tried to kill me.
I'm simply going to harvest your organs.
You need to go home. You come from a world of rules, of laws. You should not be alone.
Why did you join the Brotherhood?
To hurt the people who hurt me?
People are going to come after you.
Ain't much stage cleanup here, Vaulty. Well, now that is a very small drop in a very, very large bucket of drugs. Look out at this wasteland. Looks like chaos. But there's always somebody behind the wheel.
Everyone wants to save the world, they disagree on how.
There you are, you little killer.
Oh yeah, it's 3D on here, coming to you live from the Wasteland Podcast Studio, as we are joined in a very special live event with three ghouls and a dude. That's right, three ghouls and a dude. You can pick which one's the dude.
I believe the series is actually called Two Ghouls, a Guy, and a Pizza Rocket.
Right. But it's not like our competitor, Two Ghouls, One Cup. We don't talk about that one.
Oh.
That's a very special vault.
Yes, that's a holotape that everybody hands around, but nobody ever admits to having.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hi everyone, and hi everyone in the chat. Tonight we are going to don our best outfit and brave the elements of a post-apocalyptic wasteland from our current pre-apocalyptic situation in the world. Be talking about Fallout, not the game, but the television show. Based on the game,
Yes.
Yes. There we go.
Based on the long-running game series that I've played some of, and actually, who's played it? Hands up or thumbs up?
Oh, wait, yeah, it's got to be the thumbs up.
Yeah, Yeah. No. Oh, no.
No.
Okay, 50%. Right, okay.
Who cool. played Fallout Tactics? Right. Who played the Fallout, like, pen and paper game? I didn't play that. No one played that.
What?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right? Like, it's everything.
Yeah. Who's currently playing Fallout on their mobile as we speak?
Who's playing Fallout right now? Me.
Yeah. There we go.
There we go.
Oopsie daisy.
Oopsies. Yeah. This one is a new addition to the Fallout universe, and the first time it's on TV. Television.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is very exciting for those people who love the Fallout games and have been a part of that, you know, really been invested in that Fallout universe for a while. Mm. Very exciting to see this. I wonder whether the show would have done as well if maybe it had come out before Silo.
Silo's nothing. It's a totally separate situation to this. This is much different. And it's fine. Just a lot of people were probably sitting there going,
oh, yeah. Sorry. I was just like, what, Silo? And I'm like, oh, wait, it was that thing that we watched.
that was about a bunch of people in an underground vault.
Post-apocalyptic world.
Very different, though.
Very, very different.
Very different.
Everyone in Silo is kind of unhappy to be there, where everyone in the vaults are very happy to be there.
Yes, absolutely.
Except when you get to the other vault, which is full of Garys. But I'll explain that later. We can move on to that one.
So many other vaults. Yes, as Predakanga puts it, Silo is intrigued. This is adventure. Before we go any further into the episode, I think it is very important that we shout out to our boy in the chat, our most regular subber, the King sub, Casper, who has dropped his 200th sub.
Ooh,
and since already has dropped two more.
Oh shit!
Wow. 200 and tooth.
This is 700.
If you're currently in the poll, don't forget to vote for whether or not Passiona or Pasito is the superior passion fruit flavored soda.
I realise that may seem like a bit of a non sequitur, and it is.
We were talking about this off mic,
and we just wanted to prove whether or not. It was the real thing.
Fallout.
Yes.
Fallout.
Yes. What a great song that was. Sorry. Bad joke. Fallout, the TV show, which I have to say, everyone was probably a little concerned about when they announced they were making a TV show because, you know, game adaptations to television or movies have been just excellent all around, no notes, you know. And so when this one came out, which has a huge following, it was probably met with a bunch of kind of like, okay, your last game wasn't great that you put out.
Are we getting snarky on Fallout 4 again now?
No,
already?
76. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, right. Okay, right. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Fallout 76, which was the last game that Bethesda released in the Fallout universe, but now is that before they've released anything else, which we have to all acknowledge, and they even acknowledge, was a steaming pile of shit when it released, but now it's quite good.
Yes, it was one of those awkward things, much like No Man's Sky and various other games, where being forced to go and release a game at a particular release date as opposed to when it's ready. Is not necessarily such a great idea.
Yes,
that's true. When Fallout 76 was so bad that I forgot that it even existed, even though I do have a copy of it sitting literally right just here off screen.
Everything's just off screen, Quinny.
Yeah, it really is. Your birthday present is just off screen, by the way.
That's just cool. Annoying.
Yes, it is. and that's me in a nutshell.
Great. Is it Fallout themed?
No.
Then why are we discussing it? Moving on. Like, on to Fallout.
Because everything's just off screen. There it is. Fallout 76. Still
just off screen.
Yeah. I wasn't kidding.
Didn't even have to move.
Yeah. Right there. There we go. Anyway. Yeah. I'll play that.
What was so bad about it?
So the thing that makes Fallout wonderful.
Yeah.
Is it's narrative driven. And it's all about a world in which you have encounters and stories are told to you through the locations that you're in and the characters that you meet. And you
so
can
choose your own adventure style.
Very true. Yeah, choose your own adventure, but it's about exploration and you know, finding wonderful things in this wasteland. Fallout 76 was a massively multiplayer game where you could run into other dickheads who would
MMO.
Call you a faggot.
Not
excuse
MMO.
My sorry.
Yeah, we'll bleep that out French, later.
But... Yeah, no slurs there, Q.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. So, you know, Fallout had gained massive popularity because people could just lose themselves in that world and you didn't necessarily need an internet connection to play Fallout. And you could do one of those things which is very uncommon these days, which is pause. And one of the gameplay mechanics was actually kind of like a pause, allowed you to pause the game. And then they introduced this one and they kind of went, yeah, you can't do that anymore. And it's completely online and you have to interact with people. And if you get close to someone, it's an open mic and all this. And everyone was just like, this is a different experience.
It was just a super, super toxic sort of situation. Sure. But also the game itself was completely undercooked. Like the storylines weren't there. Yeah. It was, they were relying on players to provide storylines. And as we learned in Mythic Quest, the one thing you can rely on players for is to draw a penis.
And there was a lack of NPCs to deliver story things, and it was kind of a mess.
It's funny because I did see an ad for Fallout 76 literally today, and one thing that we will say about this Fallout TV show, which is what we're reviewing, is that it has had an extraordinary impact on the games. Like Fallout 76 has now got more players than it has ever had in its entire life. And Fallout 4 is one of the top selling games, even though it's what, nearly 10 years old now.
So it's just Skyrim all over again.
This TV series has reinvigorated the franchise in ways that I don't think even they were expecting.
No.
That's good for them.
Yeah, so it's just your chance now to get into Fallout 4 or Fallout 76 or even Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas, you know, the superior Fallout game.
I can't play it.
Hey?
I can't play it. It's not available on the PlayStation. It makes me very sad.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to join some. I know that's a very controversial. Sorry, Peter, Jill. It's slightly gatekeeper because
we've gone off and they've both been very lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good background, and background is important. We're talking about an adaptation. It doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Yep,
this
exactly.
is true, and I think it is important. So, Dion, what was the first of the Fallout games you actually played?
To be completely honest, the first one I played was Fallout 3, which was something I absolutely demonically need to just, it was one of those ones that I think I spent a month in there and didn't do much else. It's like, what are you doing?
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what are you doing over a winter period? It was just like, what are you doing? Playing Fallout 3 all day, every day.
Yeah. We didn't forever. See you for large swathes of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Admittedly,
yeah.
It was winter in Tasmania and there wasn't much else to do.
Look, at the time, we knew someone who worked at Xbox, and I saw them, and they were like, here, have this Fallout 3 game. And I was like, oh, thanks, that's great. Maybe I'll play that, and I put it in, and then gone. Bye. Away. Because it was just completely immersive, and you could lose yourself into it, and it was really interesting, and it had lots of things, and it was interesting style. You know, it's like...
Quirky.
50s Americana, but it's post-apocalyptic, and there's sci-fi aspects, and there's, like, you know... cool things and Raiders, it's kind of Mad Max, and it's, you know, all of these things kind of put into it. And, you know, it's like, what could you do? Well, you can turn on a radio, listen to 50s tunes, and walk around a wasteland for hours and not encounter anyone, doing the occasional, you know, shooting or running into someone who's got a two-headed bull who will trade with you. Like, it's a very difficult thing to kind of explain, but it was a great, fully fleshed out world that you could sort of wander around in. That's where I started. And then, yeah, and as you can say,
and then I was like, and then the hand came up, and I was like, wow.
Real bad. but you know, that was one of those ones which was like, oh, this is a really great game. And then they came out with one called Fallout New Vegas, which was a different kind of take on everything. And this is also based previously this Fallout, and then like Fallout 2, and then Fallout Tactics. And all of them were really good, interesting narrative stories, basically against set in different parts of Americana that had been post-nuclear war. So all of them are slightly interconnected, but they're set in different places because Fallout 3 was in Boston, I think.
No, Fallout 3 was Washington. It was
Fallout 3 was Washington, in the Washington area, so you could go across monuments that were destroyed and everything. Fallout New Vegas was set, of course, in Vegas. Fallout 4 was in Boston. And Fallout 76 is in the Appalachians. So this one, which is Fallout TV, now that we're here, is set in...
yes, it's okay, Jill. You can wake up again.
Set in just another area within that co-joined universe, which is really interesting. And it's nice to see it fleshed out with all the things that the people who played the games wanted and all the things for people who'd never played the games to go, oh, this is all weird. Wow, that's kind of freaky. It's like, yeah, isn't it great?
Tari in the chat asked the question, is it just set in the USA or is the rest of the world fucked as well? She said stuff, but I'm nastier than her.
The rest of the world is fucked as well. And there was a mod thing of someone who was going to make like a fan-made mod of London. So they took all the tools because one of the things Bethesda did was release all of the tools to let people make their own stuff. And there's a whole mod of doing one in London. And then there's definitely a Vault 4X in Australia.
Yes, I know Vault 4X. I've been in Vault 4X.
Absolutely.
only ever seen in one off-brand video, badly recorded video from...
Fuck Terry.
Fuck Terry.
Yes, and if anyone came to that PAX one to watch us do Fallout 4X... Vault 4X. Fuck Terry is definitely a thing.
We love Fuck Terry.
I need to stop talking now. Someone else talk about it. Someone talk about the show.
Okay.
I watched it.
would you like a synopsis?
Peter's synopsis.
Oh, do you need some background music?
Yes.
Just in case there are others who have not played the games and don't know what we're going on about.
Not a problem. Dion, dare I ask, what is the music?
It's the theme. Playing
okay.
Right now.
You never know.
Yeah.
Ha cha cha. Over 200 years after a nuclear apocalypse devastates America, a violent raid by bandits on an underground fallout shelter,
I have
Vault forces one of its residents or dwellers to set out into the barren wasteland filled with radiation, mutated monsters, and a lawless society for those who have remained on the surface. This is Fallout TV. Cha-cha-cha.
I'm sorry I didn't get anyone to tell me what the accent should have been. It's just shit.
It was Matt Berry adjacent, maybe.
Oh, fuck. It could have been Matt Berry.
Yes, it could have been Matt Berry.
Yes, I could fucking hear you.
Oh, dear. Just like the games, the TV show is full of crazy scenarios and ridiculous encounters and a whole bunch of bullshit to get sidetracked by on your main quest line.
The single best line in the first three episodes.
Yes, exactly.
Walton Goggins says, the golden rule? Thou shalt get sidetracked by bullshit at every turn. And I thought, somebody has played the games.
Yes, someone. And this is the thing, like, there were so many references to just ways and means of doing thing in the games that came into the TV show. You were like, we get this. We get the idea that, you know, vault dwellers are just earnest and really, you know, kind of happy-go-lucky people who know that they're in a great place, but everything's not quite right with that, and there's an underlying current of just, what the fuck is going on? Everyone in the wasteland is just ruthlessly trying to survive and a bit fucked up. And then there's mutated people, and then there's like militaristic governments trying to reconstitute some sort of religious order, and then there's like science-based things, and then there's just deathly animals. And whenever you have one clear goal that you want to get to, some NPC will show up and just fucking derail that by asking you to do something relatively simple.
Could you go and get me this thing that's over there with those people who are probably going to kill you? Yes. Also, it may or may not be in a radioactive swamp. I can't go myself because I'm here. But if you could go and get that for me, I will pay you handsomely or try and shoot you. Not sure which.
Yeah, either way. And I'm going to make you do 10 of these quests to finally finish the quest line. And at the end of it, I might just be like, thanks. But you don't know when you start that quest line and you realize I have just wasted a day doing bullshit
for you. So not dissimilar to other games then.
Oh, 100%. So Peter and Jill, you who are new to the wonderful world of Fallout, tell us your initial impressions. What were your first takes?
I knew of Fallout via osmosis because I've been to many PAXes and seen many people cosplaying Vault Dwellers. So I knew what Fallout was, but I'd never seen gameplay, so I didn't know what it looked like. I have since Googled that and realized that, like, the initial one was a 16-bit kind of screen scroller, and then the rest are very more, like, open world realistic looking. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I get the vibes. And I understood that it was like a retro futuro kind of style as well. So I knew all the basics going into it. As for the show itself, I was like, okay, we're painting by numbers. This is fine. I gotta say, maybe scene one, a post-apocalyptic series, seen them all. I was not blown away.
See, some people love that post-apocalyptic genre.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I was a bit meh about it. If I'm going to pick one of recent times that we have seen, I'm probably going to go with Twisted Metal, because I liked the 90s vibes better than the late 50s vibes.
Also a video game.
I like the late 50s vibes, though. I thought it was aesthetically pleasing, the way the late 50s vibes and the horrendous post-apocalyptic vibes kind of melded together. It's a similar level of violence to Twisted Metal, which is, you know, a thing.
Yes,
you know how I love the violence.
Oh yeah.
Sure,
it's your favorite.
How are you with frogs now that have fingers in their mouths?
Oh my god, that was so disturbing. That was so disturbing. Because at first I was like, ew, is it like a giant salamander or something? And then when it went to the close up of the mouth, I'm like, they're fingers. That was
and then
disturbing.
I'll wait until the spoiler section.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait until the spoiler section for where that one came from.
So, yeah, all right.
I feel like the plot was actually a bit more sophisticated than Twisted Metal in that. There were definitely a lot of questions set up in the first episode that you did kind of want to keep watching to answer, to kind of figure out, you know, what's going on with these players and how the world actually works. Where I think, like, from my memory of Fallout Metal, that was like a much more simple, we have to do the thing and get the thing done.
Do you mean Twisted Metal or Fallout?
Twisted Metal was more simplistic than,
all right, okay,
than Fallout plot wise. I thought Fallout Metal, you know, I'm talking,
they're all
words.
The same.
You don't understand, like, what a big deal this is right now.
Are we talking, are we talking Twist Out or Fall Metal?
We're talking Fall Metal. But I think I enjoyed Fallout more, so I had a different experience to Jill, is what I was trying to say. I was a little bit more invested in watching to the end to get the answers of the questions that have been set up about how this world works, and how the players fit into the world. So that kind of kept me going, I watched the whole thing willingly before we decided that we were going to talk about it. So I got to the end happily and of my own volition.
Yeah, I mean, I did keep watching it. I could have given up. But like the first few episodes, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, seen this, done that. But when I got to like maybe episode 5, where there was like a bit more mystery being revealed between like what's happening in the vaults, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll keep watching this. But honestly, the only thing that kept me invested is Walton Goggins, because I just love him, and his ghoul is fantastic.
We are going through a gogonnaissance.
Gog,
he is like
Gog never left us, Quinny.
I know. You're right. But
you can't say that Walton Goggins, who has been in, where did you first encounter Walton Goggins' greatness?
In Vice Principals.
Oh, interesting. Mine was Justified, but then he also showed up in Sons of Anarchy as an amazing character. Which I say, like,
he was also the bad guy in the first Ant-Man film.
No.
Yes, or second.
Yeah, I was about to say, well, Walton Goggins wasn't the bad guy in the first Ant-Man film.
Oh no, sorry. Well, he was
the
bad
guy.
Guy.
He was the bad guy in Tomb Raider one.
Yeah,
Tomb Raider.
He was in Tomb Raider.
Right. He was Ant-Man and the Wasp, and he was a secondary bad guy.
No one remembers the secondary bad guys.
No, my apologies. He was the one who was sending the ghost that nobody cared around to do things. Yeah, yes. Okay. So that's my first Walton Goggins. I've never watched Justified. So.
Oh, my goodness. Should watch Vice Principals. It's fucking hilarious.
Also,
what is Vice Principals about?
It's about Vice Principals.
He's also really good in The Righteous Gemstones, another one, in case you worry about that.
Yes.
And I love that we're just going down a fucking list of everything that Walton Goggins is good
why
in.
Why not?
And I was just excited to read that he'll be in the next season of White Lotus. So amazing.
I'm
like,
I mean, so
come
excited.
On. Yeah.
How it's can a good you use of love? Our time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so okay, we've got the thing I liked about it is that we had different narratives that were weaving, and that to me is the kind of difference with Twisted Metal and this, is that this one makes the very deliberate choice to say, okay, we're going to split our narrative and have three distinct characters to follow and three or, you know, more mysteries to uncover. And, you know, different time periods that they're exploring as well. So you've got Walton Goggins in the past, pre-bombs, and then Brotherhood of Steel, and then Lucy and all of her stuff. And, you know, yeah, and actually four, because you're also following the guys who are left in the vault trying to work out what's happening with Vault 31, 32, and 33. Which would immediately, like, I got to admit, I had a lot of trepidation coming into this because I have a lot of love for the Fallout games.
Oh, you've got the shirt and everything.
I have. shut up, jumper man. They just don't come in my size. But I was really afraid because this is the kind of thing that you could fuck up so easily. Like, all you would have to do is get the details wrong or try and repeat something that's been done before and get that wrong. And you could so easily stumble into something that just feels completely shit. And what this does, which is very smart, is not try to repeat anything that's gone before. We're not trying to repeat the story. Well, okay, Dion, I see your finger is up.
I just need to say, I agree with you in all of that sort of stuff. It's great to see them finding three narratives. They all interweave, which is kind of how Fallout does. There's Vault Dwellers, the Wasteland people, and then other shit that comes along. But I also love the fact that the core narrative in the Fallout TV show, it's pretty similar to a lot of what Fallouts have explored before. You know, someone.
But that's a recurring theme.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's
a recurring
that's
theme.
A poem that echoes.
It's not the same. It's not doing the same. You're correct. It's not doing the same thing. Like, this isn't the same story as Fallout 3, but it's very adjacent to the same story of Fallout 3, or even Fallout 4. You know, it's funny how that kind of works. But they did it. You're right. In such an interesting and good way. So it seems new.
And they've chosen to not cover any of the same ground. Like, this is set after all of the games, so there is no this is new territory. Nobody is going to be looking at it going, oh, hang on, but that can't be right because that's at the wrong time or whatever. This is all new virgin territory, so they can do whatever the fuck they want, and I think that works really well. It's interesting, I've seen a lot of comparison in terms of it being a video game adaptation with The Last of Us. And I mean, it's also a post-apocalyptic game with some lots of makeup and horrible monsters. And it's interesting that they chose to do almost the exact opposite, which is do a retelling. Whereas this goes and says, okay, let's tell an entirely new story.
Yeah, let's tell the same narrative stuff thematically in a separate part that we haven't explored in the game before. Up until the last scene. But we'll get to that. Because that's another bit of interesting shit for season two. We kind of get there. Yeah, just,
Were there any of the storylines that particularly appealed to you guys to, like, and I'll say to all three, but I know, Dee, that you're more heavily sort of lore aware, but I'm interested to see, you know, what are the storylines that appeal to you? The floor is yours.
I have to admit, I didn't like the Brotherhood of Steel storyline, but I liked the other two storylines, and it took me a longer time to get into it, but I do respect where they were trying to go through for it. I think it was the weakest part, but the other two were stronger.
I think I was like looking at these like suits of armor, I was like, is this from the game? And then I was like, oh, okay, it doesn't really feel like it gels with everything else. It feels very separate. Because I mean, I guess it's the only kind of lawful society that's happening in this wasteland above ground, because you kind of get the impression from the beginning that the vaults is where society is happening and everything else is just chaos. And then when you get up to the surface and then you see the Brotherhood, you're like, oh, okay, well, no, there is like a set of rules up here, but maybe not everyone's following it, but it kind of does still feel separate to everything else. I guess the storyline I was more interested in was definitely what was happening in the past and like what brought about the apocalypse, and definitely I don't even remember Walter Goggins's character's name besides the ghoul, but like what his
Cooper
his,
Howard.
Thank you. His human persona was up to and ghoul. How he got involved in all of that. I found that quite fascinating.
Yeah.
And the mystery between the vaults was a little bit intriguing, but probably maybe a little bit cliche in terms of what got uncovered. You're kind of like, yeah, well.
It's interesting because in the games, which takes a lot of time when you're playing the games, you find all of this stuff about pre-war information is literally through like notes and books and like audio tapes, and like all of it is in there as like a background narrative.
So you have to do detective work.
And that's,
that
does not translate.
And a lot
well.
Of assembly yourself.
Yeah. And that does not translate
it's
well
kind of,
to TV.
You'll read something on a computer that will then make you think, oh, hang on, so that was talking about this.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to put things together and form a bigger picture. And like one of the things that the games have always been extraordinarily good at is environmental storytelling. You walk into a room, and it's one thing that I loved, I think it's in episode 2, like one of the first things that Lucy does out in the wasteland is walk into a house and you see a family at a dinner table. You know, they're all dead. And that's super fucking Fallout. Walk into a room and get a story based on where the skeletons are, what they've been eating, what, you know.
Yeah, I feel like we got a lot of that with her brother as well that was left in the vaults and him doing detective work to figure out what was happening.
But it was interesting in order, I think, to engage viewers. They did that thing that they never do in the games, which just show you life before the bombs dropped. And in this one, by showing us that it allows everyone to understand like what was going on beforehand. So at some points it's answering a lot of questions that people who played the games wouldn't have answers for still to this day. And at other ways, it also makes it a little bit more accessible for people to be able to understand where you're going, because no one wants to walk around and watch someone reading books and putting together a storyline or listening to like tapes of things. So I think that was kind of successful. And also Walton Goggins is a gem, and we should just be watching him in whatever he does.
Look, I have to say, a friend of mine that is all very adjacent to this stuff and does not interact with video games or like a lot of super popular pop culture TV, was surprised to hear that she had watched Fallout and really liked it. And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't pick you as like someone that would be into this kind of TV show. But she's really enjoying it. And I mean, I guess it's good if you don't interact with this stuff a lot because it does feel new and fresh. But I've just played too many games and watched too many shows like this that it's just so same for me.
Mm. Pete, what was your story or thread that kind of worked best for you?
I mean, I didn't have a particular one. I kind of, with Dion, is that the thread with Maximus was the one that I had the most trouble connecting to, because I wasn't sure if I was supposed to like him or not, because he was making some questionable decisions. I guess everyone did make questionable decisions. Like, I enjoyed like Lucy as a character and that kind of juxtaposition between the naivety of being in the vault, but the inexplicable badassness once she was actually put in a position where she had to defend herself. Like, you know, don't ask too many questions. It's kind of cool and fun. And, you know, like I said, just kind of that like mystery thread, those questions. So both the, you know, the past, that kind of gradual reveal of how did we get here? But as well as answering, you know, finding the answers to those questions that were set up in the vault in the first episode, of A, what's going on with the vaults, and B, you know, how do certain people kind of play into this without kind of giving away too much of the spoiler information. And I kind of, you know, found it quite satisfying how those disparate story threads, you know, kind of did manage to intersect.
Yeah. I think that's where, for me, it worked best is where it's planting seeds in various different parts that feed back in together that give you an ending that you go, oh, okay, right, I can see enough of the web of where they all came from to make that ending feel earned.
Yeah.
And that's something that is very difficult to do.
Yeah, like, I think ultimately it's good storytelling.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid storytelling.
Yeah, and I think, Jill, what you were sort of surprised that, you know, Norms are into this, as it were. It's been interesting seeing, like, this has been fucking massive for Amazon. Like, demolished Amazon. Second highest thing ever after Rings of Power. And, yeah, like, 65 million views in a week or something stupid like that. It's, like, this has done that magical thing of crossover to the normal kind of everybody talking about it kind of stuff. And admittedly, they put a lot of fucking money into it. Like, there's marketing going out the fucking wazoo. But, yeah, I think that real strength of storytelling is perhaps what keeps people going, because if this was just video game, I don't think it would have had the appeal.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have had as large an audience, that's for sure.
No.
The people that stream on Amazon are, you know, pretty down for like the newest, hottest thing. And so when something gets hyped up, they're like, oh, well, I don't know anything about it, but they're hyping it up, so I'm going to watch it. And so that's how you get new audiences. But
now, I know exactly who I would recommend this to who aren't gamers, who would be new audience to it. And it's not everyone. I know people who are super into the post-apocalyptic genre as a thing, and they would love it. But I wouldn't, for example, recommend it to my parents, I don't think that they would particularly enjoy it. And these are people that I may watch Doom Patrol. So, like, it is it is like a particularly kind of niche, even though I think it's good storytelling, I do still think it's niche storytelling that not everyone's going to enjoy. But I think as somebody who has zero knowledge outside of the obvious of the games, it successfully brought me in as new audience.
Yeah. I mean, I find it bold of Amazon to fund and put out a show that basically is saying, hey, stop corporations from owning everything because they're not good. Because that's kind of the biggest like undercurrent narrative that's pushed through all Fallout things is like corporations are pretty bad.
Yeah.
And big institutions and giant corporations are bad for America and the world, basically.
Yeah, and monopolies are terrible and, in fact, lead to terrible situations where awful things happen. Yeah.
It's not an instructional plan, guys. Come on. What's going on there? All right. Have a think then about the rating you want to give it, and then we'll go to a clip and come back because there's a lot to unpack in the spoilery bit that I would like to talk about as well.
There's a lot about this show that you know, I mean, requires spoilers to talk about, but also
all up, really enjoyed Ella Purnell. She's great. I got on board Lucy as the earnest vault dweller who's rapidly understanding what the fuck is happening on the surface and that she potentially everything she has grown up with may have been lying to her. I like Kyle MacLachlan with his shit-eating grin and his earnestness. And I liked everyone else bounced off those kind of two because they make everything work. And the dialogue is good and, you know, the jokes land. I'm still not 100% sold on the ghoul, but he's just cool. He's the cool ghoul.
How can you not be sold on the ghoul?
You know, mainly because I like his pre-war persona a bit more than I like his post-war persona, but we'll get to that. He's a tragic character. That's fine. At least they stimmed the dog, which is a euphemism I won't be using anywhere else. But yeah, I liked it. I'm going to give it 90 out of 100. There you go. That's my rating.
Right. We're rating. We're doing the rating.
I'm rating now. Straight, and you guys can talk about
holy
anything else.
Holy shit.
I liked it because it hit all of the tones. Like, as someone who played the games and then watched this, I was like, it's not going to be that good. And by the end of the season, I was like, this is pretty good. Like, that's got a lot of – that ticked all the boxes that you get for a few things and had a few more. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay, Pete, Jill, I'm sorry, I'm still blindsided. I wasn't expecting to be at ratings just yet.
It's quarter past eight.
Pretty.
When
it's
are we
quarter
going?
Past eight.
I know, but I still love it and I want to talk time. About it a lot.
I liked it. I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was solid. You know, it might kind of come down to, you know, I do like a post-apocalyptic genre. I felt that it was different enough from my recent jaunts in the post-apocalyptic genre that it didn't bore me. And, you know, there was enough for me to kind of keep going. And, you know, it was well done, visually pleasing, very violent. But, like, the violence was well done.
Violence was well done and
like,
so on brand.
Real. I assumed that what was going on there was probably on brand for the game, and it made me kind of rethink. I probably won't, you know, decide that I'm going to start playing this game anytime soon. I'm vamping because I don't know what number to give.
I did wonder. It's like... and I thought I was
Think of the number of vault that you would like to be in between 1 and 100. I can't give it 101.
I'm going to give it 80. I thought it was really solid.
Nice. Okay. Jill, do you want to go next or shall I?
you go.
I was very, very much on board with this. Now, want to also flag that we were I won a competition to go and go to a press or a screening of this. So maybe my view of the first couple of episodes may have been a little bit kind of, oh yeah, that had a couple of drinks, got some nice food, you know, did all that stuff. But everything after there, I took it slow. I wanted to watch this one, an episode a night. I didn't want to binge it. I wanted to fucking,
savor it.
Yeah, I wanted to let it sit with
me
for a
bit. You're not dating the episodes, Quinny. Just get to the monkey or the, you know, get to the super mutant, Quinny.
I would love to get to the super mutant, but there ain't none there. I know. I really enjoyed it. I was gobsmacked that they managed to get something so right for the world that I have spent, you know, almost as long as Dion in. You know, walking around the wasteland and having those encounters and you know, all that stuff gives you a very different feeling for it. And when you see it translated pretty well, perfectly to screen, you're like, oh, fuck me. Right. Okay. Great. And I love the complexity of it. I thought it was interesting that we've had two other very good video game adaptations, both of them post-apocalyptic in recent times. And this one still managed to have its own flavor. For me, it's a 95. I really, really enjoyed it. There was very little about it I didn't enjoy. I could have gone higher, but I didn't.
Okay, we've only got 1 point left to spend in our stat tree, and we've chucked all of our points into charisma. Jill, where are you assigning your score?
Gonna drag this down. I'm so sorry. Okay. Everybody's giving it like 90s and stuff, and I'm just like, why? I wish that I had played the games. I wish that I was a fan of this before the series came out, because I feel like I would get more out of it. I'm watching it and I'm like, oh yeah, I know about the bottle cap currency. Oh yeah, I know about the Nuka-Cola. There's that thing. Oh yeah, I know about the outfits. There's that. Oh yeah, I know about the star. Yeah, there it is. I just was not fucking jazzed at all. And everything was just like, yeah, seen it, seen this before. Yeah, they did that and this other thing. And yeah, I'm so sorry, guys. So I'm going to give it a 65 because it was just like, yeah, fucking been there, done it, mate. I wish I had played the games because I would love it as much as everybody else has. But I just, for me, I'm like, I've done too many post-apocalyptics. I'm post-post-apocalyptic now.
You've seen too many cousin stuff movies.
Yeah. Oh, cousin stuff.
Dear.
Yeah.
It is important that we have different views on this because otherwise, you know, it becomes a monopoly.
But Missy, I mean, other people that haven't played the game and are coming on board with this are digging it more than I am. I'm just post-apocalyptic-ed out.
Yeah, it's an opinion thing. And you enjoy Twisted Metal much more than I enjoy Twisted Metal. Like, yeah. Sometimes you've got to get the thing that tickles you, and if it doesn't, then it's
like
a slog.
Even when we came to the end of the series and like they revealed the plot twist, I'm like, yeah, kind of figured that was what was going to happen. And then they're like, all right, well, what are you going to do now? And I'm like, I'm not going to watch a second season. Like, this is not really, there wasn't really much that was doing it for me to make me actually get to that final episode, except that, oh, we're going to review it. I may as well watch it all.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fair enough. Sometimes the thing's not for, like, people. That's okay.
Not everything is for everybody, and that's completely fine.
Which clip do you want? Should we go and have a look at very quickly before we come back to spoilers? The one where we see the pre-war bombing, which I have to admit was pretty impactful. I really enjoyed that as kind of a cold open. Or we see about what a vault dweller is actually really like, and why does everyone in the wasteland laugh at them? Pick one, A or B?
B.
B, vault dwellers. This is what vault dwellers are like in the... in the fucking wasteland.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave him alone. Now, I acknowledge that I'm unfamiliar with your circumstances, but at first glance, your treatment of this man appears unfair, and I'm obliged to intervene. Now, if your instinct is to harm me, as a person simply trying to de-escalate a conflict, then I'll have to assume of the two of you, you are likely the primary aggressor. In which case, I think everyone in this town would agree that force is justified. Unless you willingly stand down now.
Fucking Vault Dwellers, jeez.
Well, now that is a very small drop in a very, very large bucket of drugs.
She said stand down.
Get real when the Brotherhood of Steel shows up in the cage match. Let's get ready to rumble within a town that's just like Megaton from Fallout 3, but without the big bomb in the middle because they can't go to Megaton because it's in another game. Hey,
yes.
Wait, I better
put
and
on
this.
And may not have been blown the fuck up by the player, so you never know.
Yeah. Wait. Okay, all right, hang on. Yes, the spoilery logo is up.
Okay, there we go.
It's spoiler town now. We can all talk about this. We'll all watch the ending, and the only thing I have to say about that ending is, holy shit, we could go to Vegas. Now, that's an interesting thing. Because Fallout New Vegas was a departure because it wasn't made by Bethesda. It was made by a different studio who had licensed the Fallout universe to make it, and they added a few twists into the gameplay dynamic, which were really well respected. And that came down to basically this narrative that there were a few factions within this world, and if you helped some of those factions, other factions would hear about it, and you would have like a little meter that would go up and down about how well you'd be received in a way. And you couldn't keep everyone happy. So it was a really interesting dynamic they put in, is that basically whatever you do is going to make you basically enemies of one person eventually. Like you can only have two out of three. You can't maintain a solid relationship with everyone. So that was kind of why Vegas was a fun one. And also, you know, Vegas wasn't about a vault, like Fallout New Vegas wasn't about a vault dweller who was doing something. Fallout New Vegas was about a courier whose job it was to ship something across there who got shot in the head by someone and then was like, fuck that guy, I'm going to go kill him because he shot me in the head. Like, it's a pure revenge story. It was all the other Fallouts have been like, oh, this vault person has to come out and find his dad or rescue someone or do something nice. Like, Fallout New Vegas was like, some motherfucker shot me in the head, I'm going to go kill that guy. Hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm annoyed because Fallout New Vegas is the one that I tried. So, okay. Like Dion, I played a fuck ton of Fallout 3. Too much. Really unhealthy amounts. And then Fallout New Vegas came out and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, a new game. It's going to be the same, or it's going to be new. And then I was deeply disappointed to find out it was exactly the same, game engine, and I just wasn't into the storyline to begin with, but also it was buggy as fuck upon release, and so I kind of dipped out and never got around to playing it, and now I can't because it's not available on the new systems, and that's really annoying because everybody says it's got the best narrative, and I'm like, fuck's sake.
Yeah, I mean, I can't explain because we're not talking about Fallout New Vegas. We're not talking about a computer game. We're talking about Fallout TV show. But it's really interesting that we could end up in Vegas, which is...
I don't think there's much could about it. We're going there.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happened, which is, you know, I don't want to spoil it because it's from the game. It's not from the TV show. There's cool things about New Vegas, which is kind of hilarious. Did anyone catch the super mutant? I know. Briefly. Like, there's so much stuff that I see Peter and Jill like, whatever, what's going on? It's like, as much as they crammed in to show you what's going on in the world there, there is so much other shit that's going on. There's a whole race of giant green mutant kind of orc things called super mutants who are basically another faction that are trying to take over the world, and they just kind of eat people. But
they're trolls.
You know, trolls kind of thing that exist around big. There. And where did they come from? And the big bad that you saw in this TV show was the big bear sort of thing in the cave. Like the
Yaogwai.
Yaogwai, the huge bear thing that attacked the Brotherhood of Steel guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not even the worst thing that is in the wasteland. So hopefully we get to see all of the other kind of worst animals that are out there. It's exciting to me.
And it's funny because that is the thing that I know a lot of players are the most excited about is seeing more shit from the games that they've seen before. Like, it's like, oh, I want to see this animal. Oh, I want to see that animal. Won't it be fun when I run into this thing? And you're like, yeah, but let's talk about the narrative.
Yeah. I mean, what's the fun thing about the game is like you're running around in the outside in cities and you're going, fuck, there's too many things in the streets up here. I'll just try and go into the subway system to get away from all the shit that's trying to kill me. And there's more shit that's trying to kill you in the subway system. And you're like,
of course.
This is just way scarier. Now.
Okay. Let's talk about actual plot here. So I'm intrigued. Has it ever been revealed or said in any of the other games or anything that Vault-Tec is actually the ones responsible for dropping the bombs?
No.
Did that work for you guys storyline-wise, Peter, Jill?
Yeah, because it pushed a narrative of like, yeah, corporations are evil, and of course they would bring about the end of the world if it meant selling a product.
Yeah. It seemed like the natural end point of capitalism, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can we sell the apocalypse? Yes.
Like, it makes sense to me. Like, why would you need to have underground vaults if there was no problem to escape from? So therefore we're going to sell you all of these vaults with the under the premise of, hey, there might be a nuclear fallout in our future, and then create the fallout.
Yeah. And I like that it is basically collusion.
Fallout.
Yeah, it's basically the collusion of a bunch of corporations going, hey, if we give you vaults, you can run your own experiments or do whatever you want there. Because, you know, we'll make sure that all of you are okay, like everyone that you want to make sure is okay, while we wipe everyone else out and see what goes on and sort of take a breath.
I mean, it was a bit bizarre that, like, Vault 4, they put all of these scientists in and were just kind of like, yeah, do your own thing, like, go for it, whatever. Like, I didn't understand why that was something that existed before the bombs, but whatever.
As in why there were experimental vaults before the bombs.
Yeah.
But there weren't any real experimental vaults before the bombs.
I'm pretty sure, like, the people in Vault 4 that they went to visit were doing weird shit.
Yeah. They were just seeing what the effects were, like, in a small scale. Whereas, you know, the vaults are basically experiments. And that's kind of one of the things you find out after a while going through the games is like, oh my God, the vaults are all experiments. And then you're like, oh my God, the vaults are all experiments. Which is kind of fun to find out through the eyes of someone who's grown up in a vault in the TV show.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting to see whether or not they extend and tell different parts of the story. Because there's things like, there's questions that I have about the vaults. Like, you know, I'm having in the chat there about, you know, where are the shareholders? If this is all about profit, where are the people who profit?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this indication that there are good vaults. You know, where are they? And do we ever get to see them? And are they unnumbered vaults that people can't find?
Well, in the land of the blind, you know, the one-eyed man is king. That's kind of what they're going
with. No. He's just the overseer. He's not the king.
Yes. That's kind of the whole point to it, is if they wipe everyone out and then they come back out with all of the technology, the ability to grow food and survive and start again, they get to control how it's going. You know, so that's valuable.
I was going to ask something. Fuck. What was it?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about that atrocious deep fake in the final episode?
Which was one?
The young Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh yeah. Well, you know.
That was fucking awful.
Everyone's got to have one Bart.
You got to have one shitty deepfake somewhere.
Yeah. I love that that's the bit you want to talk about. You don't want to talk about the problem that most conservative middle America had in the show, which was the woman giving birth to all of those things that ate her.
The finger mouth axolotls.
Yes.
All given birth to by a woman in a tank.
And then eat her.
That was weird.
That's 100,000% exactly what the whole Fallout thing is, which is like, that's horrifying.
No, I kind of like that. I'm like watching this thing with Lucy and I'm like, I don't even really know what I'm looking at right now. And then you kind of just see something and it cuts away and I'm like, I don't think I want to know what that is.
Yeah. And then, just like the games, the lot of moral complexity that comes out is like, you're all human monsters. And it's like, no, wait, that was my uncle. And we don't do that anymore. And we're actually trying to create a society that doesn't do that because that was horrible, right? And it's like, oh, shit, yeah. You do a lot of that in the games, which is like, I've helped someone. And it's like, yeah, but you killed a million people.
Yeah, I feel like this series is like, it's kind of looking at like the bad points, but giving it like a weird positive spin.
Mm.
And I don't know if I just want to see the dark and twisted and disgusting shit. Like, just give me the fucking rotting guts of it all. Like, stop trying to polish it.
There is a vault out there for you.
Yeah,
in fact, there's 100 and something of them that are full of the most fucked up shit
and twisted post-apocalypse. Yeah. Stop trying to like make it all cheerful and okie dokie.
And it is funny. Like there's big long lists and descriptions of what's in most, if not all, of the vaults around America. And some of them are experiments that went horribly wrong. Some of them are, vaguely utopian. Many of them are, the worst excesses of if science is allowed to run with nothing to stop them. And pretty much the whole stories are about, what if science and capitalism just ran off hand in hand into the sunset and said, fuck it, let's just do whatever we want.
Yeah. And then you just got a bunch of people who are left to survive in whatever is left over the best they can. And I found that that was an interesting thing too. When you go out into the wilderness and you see people just trying to survive, suddenly your judgment drops off a lot because you're just like, oh man, you're just trying to survive. I mean, even if you're doing unnatural experiments with chickens, he's trying to make his way through a very difficult way and sell you whatever. And yeah. It's just kind of how that goes.
There was an interesting bit that I know fans lost their shit over, which I guarantee that most everybody else was like, huh, cool. There's a blackboard with the history of the wasteland since the vaults and since the bombs were dropped. And that was an episode that for me made me go, ooh, because not only did they, sort of make some big, deep lore cuts, but also they finally used the music that I'd been waiting to hear since fucking day dot, which is the Fallout theme. But it's interesting. Yeah, there's all this talk about the city of Shady Sands, which, as somebody who only played from Fallout 3 onwards, had zero emotional relevance to me. It turns out that, it's a big deal. That's one of those ones that I think if you've been a player since day dot, that probably was like, oh shit, this is a huge deal that this guy decided to blow up an entire city just to try and get his wife back, basically.
Yeah. I mean,
me, it was like, huh.
I feel like it's overloading people at the moment with the amount of lore and background and all this kind of stuff. And what does this mean? And who's there? And who's supposed to be important? Because, You got the Brotherhood of Steel, you got the Enclave, you've got the Vault Dwellers, you've got the Wastelanders, you've got the New California Republic, you've got all of these. It can get worse than Game of Thrones trying to track who is what and what's going on in all of these things. So I think they did a quite smart narrative thing of just paring it down to like one Vault Dweller, one Brotherhood of Steel person, and some sort of bridge between pre-war and post-war and finding out what happens in the middle.
Yeah, so we haven't even touched on the Enclave.
Well, we saw the Enclave. They were the people conducting all those experiments and murdering puppies, which is a strong opener for episode two. Well, because, oh, it's a little puppy. Nope, incinerator. It's like, oh, okay. Like, that's where I go, the tone. That's why I say that they did a successful job in the show to get the tone correct.
Mm.
So, yes, I respect their chutzpah.
Yeah. Yeah, look, there's. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that is particularly spoilery that is needing to be unpacked. There's a lot of questions as to why Moldova is still alive. You know, she was around at the same time as Walton Goggins 200 years previously. So whether she went into a vault as well, or whether
that was my assumption.
Yeah, and this is like, you know, Fallout loves playing with time based on some of these things, like cryogenics is a thing. People can go into cryostasis and come back out again, or sometimes they're robots, or sometimes they're clones. You just don't know. So at least it's keeping us guessing. So I think for people who've played the games, you're like, oh, wonder which one it's going to be. At least there's no good definitive answer to keep us going through to season two. And also it's set in an interesting time period, which is a bit too soon for the Fallout games. So this is in this weird interim period. Like, isn't this, this is set before Fallout 3, right?
No, this is all set after everything.
Is it?
Yes.
I thought I got my time set.
Nope. It's very specifically set after everything else so that they could,
Okay,
so cool. Everything that's happened in Fallout 3, 4, etc., has already happened. This is.
I've got a thing that says no. It was before. See, look. Yeah, you know, I swear this was set before Fallout 3 in the time, like, which is why it's too early. Yeah, I don't know. That's something you'll have to go and look up then.
Yeah.
Now I know what Peter feels like when she's not invested in the material.
Yeah, just like, oh, whatever.
I'm just kind of sitting here going,
yeah. God,
I still have questions. I still have plenty of questions that I'm hoping would kind of get answered through another season.
Let's drop some questions and let's see whether we can find some answers.
Well, just like little things that I'm like, I don't think it's a mistake, but it wasn't, you know, explicitly, you know, explained. And I think it's just more backstory that is going to be potentially filled in later. Well, like, how did Cooper Howard go from successful movie star to having to do kids' parties like we saw him in the first scene of the thing? Unless I really missed something, I didn't see that bit of his backstory being
inferred that he left his wife because she was a corporate succubus.
It is, but it is.
Yeah, we still didn't really get that.
And obviously a huge amount of time hasn't passed because the daughter hasn't grown up that much. So like little things like that where I'm like, I feel like a question was kind of set up that was never really answered. But I'm kind of I'm okay with most of them because it feels like something that still can be answered with another season.
Mm.
You know, we don't really know how the ghouls became ghouls or how that, you know, started to become a thing or and how he ended up becoming a ghoul in this whole process. Like, so there's, I still like, you know, have an interest in finding out more about these particular characters. But I'm probably not going to deep dive into the world the way you guys have.
And let me tell you, my version of a deep dive is a fucking, a paddling pool in comparison to the actual amount of lore that exists for this game. The timeline for Fallout goes back to the 1700s and then right through until, hang on, the last date on it is 2997. which is that when all of their equipment will fail because that's when their power packs run out. That's, you know, quite a lot of time to cover.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
So much Fallout love, so much Fallout apathy, which is just perfect because that's exactly what the Wasteland is like. Some people love it and some people just fucking don't give a shit. Like, leave me alone. I remember wasn't there one guy in Fallout 3 that's just like sitting there, he's like, just let me die. And if you keep giving him water, he stays alive.
Sick fuck.
Yeah. It's kind of like you just end up prolonging his agony. Well, I had thought of a joke I was going to make, but I forgot because what's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is gonna be May.
Yes! I was going to have that sting, but I forgot about it. It's right there. Thank you, Jill. You did not let me down. You knew that it's gonna be May.
And may the 4th be with you all on Saturday.
Yes.
Where we get a whole bunch of new Star Wars content, or at least some short films.
Sure. I don't know. You sounded
excited about it.
I weep in quiet bank account destruction because they're announcing another HasLab.
I think they
were supposed to do it today, and then they came out going, oh, no, we're just going to delay it. And everyone's like, you fucking bastards. Anyway. It's May the 4th. You know, if you observe, great. If you don't observe, that's fine too.
You can also celebrate, you know, a non-denominational May the 4th, which is called Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah. You can celebrate however you'd like. You know, as long as you don't forget Mother's Day, which is coming up
the week after.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, shout out to Elskinoga, who is going to AgFest on Saturday, which is
that's a very typical one there.
That's the Tasmanian agricultural festival.
Yeah, where else can you go and stand in a tractor wheel?
Yeah, and you know, be covered in mud from fucking head to toe because they run it in the middle of a muddy field every year in the middle of winter, and it's like
there's nothing more ag than AgFest. Like you don't know, it says what it does what it says on the box, Quinny.
It does.
It's not sitting there going Coco Chanel. It says AgFest. What's in there? Ag.
Have a tractor.
Fest. Is that festival? Festy?
No.
Fest. Who knows? Yes, next month or tomorrow is going to be May, and we will get the schedule up soon. But next week, in the first week of May, we're not doing the show on Tuesday.
No.
Because Apes Together Strong.
We're going to see Apes.
Ape Together Strong next Tuesday. We're all going there. I hope you've all done your research on the rest of the Planet of the Apes film. Yes?
Yeah, I don't remember what happened in the last one. I'm going to have to watch it again.
There were monkeys.
No.
I shall not be doing research. Apes. I shall be going in cold.
Raw dogged it like you wouldn't believe.
I have seen Planet of the Apes films. I'm just not going to care to remind myself what was the previous one to this.
Are you talking Dr. Zaius versions or are you talking with the circus ones and not the clown
not,
and the
not
funny?
Not monkey in a circus, Andy Circus.
Andy Circus ones. No?
Yeah, I don't. So, how many have we had? We've had what, like Planet of the Apes?
I fucking lost count, bro. Like, that's how many there have been.
Planet of the Apes.
This is why I will not be doing any research and will be going in cold.
Peter is going to usurp us and watch the Marky Mark ones.
One's singular. Because that motherfucker never got a sequel.
Hey, you leave him alone.
You leave Marky Mark alone. If he leaves the film industry alone, I'll leave him alone. Stops fucking making stupid films.
It was Rise, Dawn, War, and now this one.
I forgot about Dawn entirely. Jesus.
Yeah. Dawn's good.
Is it?
They're all good.
They're all good.
Yeah.
I do remember them all being fairly good, but I can't remember a single thing about them. Like, there's a bunch of apes. You know,
well, I mean,
didn't Caesar die in the last one?
Yeah. Oh,
so we don't even have Andy Serkis in this one anymore.
Oh,
don't think so. No, I think we are in a circus-free ape landscape. I mean, and I, what I'm interested, Jill, is whether you have also had enough apes for the last year. You've had too much apocalypse.
I mean, I did watch a Kong movie the other week.
You did watch a Kong movie. Are you aped out? Is this your apocalypse?
Is this my apocalypse? I don't know. We'll have to see. I do feel like there's been very many ape movies. Like, these Planet of the Apes just keep on coming.
Yeah,
they do. I will give a credit. That Tim Burton, Marky Mark, Planet of the Apes had awesome makeup effects. Like Tim Roth and some of the others wearing the prosthetics was really fucking cool.
So that was more to the level of like original Planet than like these ones are at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I'm waiting for the evolutionary step in these films to get more like original Planet.
Where they're basically, you know,
where they're more humanoid. Yeah. I'm waiting for that moment.
I feel like we're probably getting close to that. I get the feeling this one, the humans can't talk anymore. And it's heading to that thing where the apes are more humanoid, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Kind of blows me away that they chose to continue to speak English.
The apes?
The apes.
All these more questions we can answer next week.
You make a good point.
We come back on Wednesday. You can join us then.
There's a bunch of other stuff that's coming out at the moment that we'll be checking out. Like there's Dead Boy Detectives that started on Netflix, which is well worth a look. Bunch of other stuff. So we're going to have a very busy May. It is going to be May.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing May. Thank you for joining us. We're going to go now. I know I don't think I want to do the 3D on sign off.
Oh.
Thanks for listening, children.
We are going to go and raid Bro Hex, though, who's playing Fallout 4. So,
all right, Fallout 4, where you can, where they introduced the ability to build your own encampment, which actually made it suck more time out of you because you were planning how do I build my own encampment and town instead of have to go and get a house somewhere else that was pre-made. I know it's a whole thing.
Part I hated the most about Fallout.
I'm worried about the word encampment.
Yeah, well. Well, it depends on what kind you want to make. Do you want to make one that's controlled by your authoritarian fist, or do you want to encourage people to have free thought?
It's just like a vault on top of the ground.
Yeah. And you'll always get distracted by someone running up to you going, you've got to go help this other settlement. Oh, for fuck's sake. They're under attack by raiders.
Oh, fucking raiders.
Sucks to be them.
Yeah, maybe they should have built bigger walls then.
Eventually, that's what you kind of get to, is like someone keeps running up to you and you're like, they're going to die. Just let them die. I don't care. I can't run off and do that. I'm getting sidetracked.
Natural selection.
Thank you all. We will see you next time.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody.
May the fourth be with you. Bye-bye.
Want no bright lights, false teeth, doorbells, landlords, I make it clear
that no matter how they coax him,
I'll stay right here.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table Podcast. If you have comments, feedback, questions or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Tuesday and Friday nights on our Twitch channel. Until next time, stay awesome!